Now on Nights with Steve Price, the Entrepreneur Show with Heidi Armstrong. Thanks to Converge Business Forums, connecting entrepreneurs and combining the power of networking with business coaching.
28 to 10 from the world of medical brilliance to the world of entrepreneurs and people who keep the dollars ticking over. Heidi Armstrong's in the studio with me for the last time this year. Evening to you.
Good evening. It's a very sad time.
It's been a great pleasure having you in here, talking to all of the most fascinating and interesting people that we've had.
Oh, you say all the right things, Steve.
I did notice, by the way, I wanted to raise this with you. I noticed that BHP have carved off part of their business and they've decided to call this South 32. That's the name of their new business. Now, this is BHP, one of the biggest mining companies in the world. You'd think they'd have all the most brilliant people doing the due diligence and everything. Guess what?
What?
Someone else owns the domain name and wants $10 million for it.
Oh, you wouldn't read
Why
about
Why would
that
you choose that as your name if you hadn't already registered it?
Maybe someone's head's about to roll
I think so.
I think it might.
But isn't that clever how people go? I mean, why would you think to register South 32? You can't think. I guess it must be a latitude thing with mining. But why would someone go out and register a domain name like that? Apparently it was owned by someone in Australia. It was purchased by this company in the US that trades in domain names. They've asked BHP for $10 million. BHP said no. So they've now got a new company with a new name without the domain name.
I can't believe, and we've talked about this in the past, about when you start up a business, the sort of steps that you take. Mm. And really, one of the first things is securing the business name, but also making sure your domain name is available.
I'd be interested to know what your very special guest tonight in the studio with us makes of all of that. Who have you got with you tonight?
Tonight we have a very interesting guest. We have Giulio Delafitte. And Giulio has had a very successful business in financial services. So he founded quite a few years ago, he'll tell us, JDL Strategies, so Wealth Advisors Wealth Management. And that has gone on and grown and developed, and he's got his executive team running the show, so he can go gallivanting. And it's about his gallivanting that we want to extract out of Giulio. How are you, Giulio?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for
having me
here.
Welcome to the studio. Welcome. Nice to have you.
Oh, it's good to be here.
You believe BHP wouldn't have done the due diligence on the domain name of what they were going to call their new mining company?
Yeah, it's a kind of detail you don't want to miss, is it? It's like some heads were definitely raw.
I agree.
Yeah, it's perhaps people thinking too much bigger picture, and then the devil is in details, right?
It is in the detail, and I suspect, Giulio, that you have had to put your head to the detail, because you are going to take 117 entrepreneurs to Antarctica in January.
What?
Yes, you know, something we all sort of do those sort of things, don't we, Steve?
That sounds brilliant.
Tell us about it.
Sure. Basically, the idea happened when late last year I was invited to a government meeting, and the politicians were just discussing the debt of the state of Queensland. And I was just there listening, and it was quite, you know, a few politicians, mostly business people. And the two options were to increase taxes or sell the assets. So I was just listening in, and I couldn't help it. I put my hand up, and I said, "Hey, guys, when you go into politics, do you have to do a business 101? Do you have to? Because when your business is in trouble, honestly, you don't open a garage sale and start selling your assets at a fire sale price." See, at that moment, a couple of things starts to happen. There was a silence. And then the business people in the room start to then have ideas. It just happened. It just ignited.
Yep.
And the ideas start to come across as questions. Hey, what about this? And what about that? And so on. And I immediately start to see the collaboration between the business people, right? Mm-hmm. First among themselves and then including the politicians.
Politicians collaborating, did you say? I just wanted to confirm that.
It was a good meeting. It was a good meeting.
But were you dismayed that they gotten to that point without having this interaction and idea session themselves?
It was fascinating. It was fascinating how when I said, obviously from a business perspective, you know, these are the solutions of selling the assets. Any business person, any entrepreneurs will never think about that. See, what actually happened for me at that moment was that I believe Australia is the best country in the world in which to prosper, in which to start a business, go for it.
And why Why, Giulio?
Basically, I arrived here in 1988 when they told me there was a recession on.
There was.
Well, you see, it's all a matter of perspective, perception. When I got here, inflation in Australia is around the 12% mark in 1988.
Housing interest rates are about 18%.
That's right. And but in Brazil, inflation was 300%.
It's all a matter so, of perspective.
So when I got here, I start thinking, my God, how'd you get it this good? And even though interest rates were here were 18%, in Brazil was 12% per month.
Wow.
So when they told me it was 18% per annum, it occurred to me as free money. I'm like, oh my God, how did you get this good? It was my honest Lynn. When I start looking around and people are freaking out.
Yeah, everybody's
complaining.
And whining, complaining.
Mm. And you know, the funnest thing about it was they told me that it would be very hard to get a job. So there's a recession on, mate. You won't get a job.
And you came here why?
In 1988.
Why?
Oh, because I met a girl with green eyes.
Right. Yes. So you met an Australian girl.
I kept asking her to be my girlfriend, and she kept saying no.
That's always the best part. You know what I mean?
And then she kept saying no, and I said, why not? She said, what's the point of falling in love with a Brazilian boy and go back to Australia and be heartbroken?
Especially one who doesn't have a job.
That's right. So 2 weeks before she left Brazil, I disappeared. And when she flew into Cairns, where her and her family lived, I was at the airport
there
waiting.
There you were.
No.
True story. And then I said, what are you going to do now?
Did she look happy to see you, Julia?
Oh, very much so. I know. That's exactly right. Some people think, oh, how romantic. But I was like, dude, he was talking, man. You know? So I came here, and so I met this girl, and I just finished an economics degree in Brazil. And upon arrival in Australia, I start to realize how good it was, like how the laws, the low corruption, the facility of money. Like in Brazil, to borrow money, you needed four guarantors. By law, two of them must not be family. In Australia, you need a 10% deposit and you bought a house.
Mm.
It was just like swing comparison. And they told me, they said, Julio, you won't get any jobs. I got two jobs. Bloody wogs, come here, right?
What did you do? What were the first two jobs?
See, the funny thing is, I got a job as a draftsman working for Mulgrave Shire Council at the time and a local firm. Basically, it doesn't matter if I spoke Portuguese, English, or German. All they wanted was straight lines and the right angles and the plans done properly.
Just in Cairns?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I got two jobs, and then from there,
What was the second job?
Yeah, both of them in drafting.
This is a far cry from wealth creation, wealth management.
So that's when, I started it. And so I got two jobs. And then one year later, I started going to English classes for migrants. So here's the point, how good this country is.
How was your English at that point?
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, very basic.
It was the language of love, Steve.
Yes.
Obviously.
Very basic. So then I actually went and I started going to migrant classes. And there were people there here for 10 years. And basically what happened was that I realized for a moment, my God, the people that have been here for a while and they still struggle with the language. So I thought, I've got to get a job as a salesman.
Because it forces you to speak.
That's right. If I don't sell, I don't eat. Mm. And to eat, I got to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit my jobs and I went and got a job as a salesperson. And that got me into the world of business, right? I became the very best salesperson in that company simply by studying at night the processes that they had, the communication pieces that they had, translating, and trying to be of more service and of more value.
What were you selling?
Photocopiers and fax machines.
Ah, he's come from selling photocopiers.
Right.
And okay.
It was
which
an incredible.
No one has anymore.
Yeah, it was an incredible training. And then, so from there, I went to James Cook University. And I got a degree in business. And then I pitched the university to hire me as an international consultant. See, I learned pitching at my sales job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a job working for James Cook University, pitching Australian education, right, in Brazil.
Wow.
It was like the population of wealthy Brazilians is large.
Yeah.
Right? How did you go?
Place at the right time.
Well, you're on the ground floor of one of Australia's great export businesses as of now.
And I would like to say to South America, I consider myself one of the pioneers.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the right place at the right time. The Australian money, the time in which we started the education here and so on. So I then... Through that, I picked up a few mentors and I went into business.
Mentors, Heidi.
Uh-huh. Steve and I talk about mentors. He's not convinced that he believes in them.
And then
convince him, Julio.
You know, I still have mentors now.
I
mentor is somebody who just, you know, iron sharps iron, entrepreneurs sharpen entrepreneurs. So I basically then, what I want to share with you here is at the end of my first year in Australia, they told me I wasn't going to get a job. I got two jobs simply because I kept knocking on the door and asking. So at the end of the first year, I bought a house. Do you know why? Because they let me. It was only 10% deposit. Mm-hmm. At the end of the second year, I bought another one because they let me. At the end of the third year, what I want...
You know, credit policy's tightened up a lot since then.
No, but I still want to say to you, in comparison to the rest of the world, this country is young. This country is, it's beautiful. It's part of it. It has everything. Is when leadership starts to die, leadership starts to go wobble, and people start to question their future, they stop to see how good Australia really, really is. Of course we have our problems. Of course I'll have our...
So it must dismay you when you see some of this lack of political leadership and the debate, the political debate that we have every night on this show. We're talking about what's wrong, not what's right.
Yeah. Look, I you call me naive or you call me an optimist. When you ask me to look at the glass, I see the glass half full. I am in the best country in the world, and I know it.
Do you spread this message back home? I mean, have you filled the country up with all your mates? They all come here?
Not just the Brazilians. I tell that to Australians. We have educated thousands of Australians on wealth creation, and that's what actually happened for me, is when I was here 6 years and I started looking at the possibilities of debt reduction, tax minimization, wealth creation, I thought, what are you guys doing? So I started a company to first and foremost educate people in financial intelligence. And I got absolutely committed to that.
And do you think that Australians are raising their financial intelligence? Do you see a shift or do you
I see that we're all still stuck? There's two conversations inside of that one. The first one is the reality that in the Western world, people do not learn about debt reduction, about taxation, how money actually works. And the illusion is because I have money in my wallet in and out, people think that they know about money. But the difference between working for money and money working for us is very different. And there's no such a thing as investing without risk. So I committed my life to that message.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to hear how taking a ship of entrepreneurs to Antarctica is investing without risk.
Going to come back and talk about that, Heidi, in just a moment. 16 to 10. I need a dollar,
dollar, dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey. And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Entrepreneur Show with Heidi Armstrong. Thanks to Converge Business Forums, connecting entrepreneurs and combining the power of networking with business coaching.
Heidi's in the studio with us. You've also, of course, got your business show on Foxtel on Friday night at 6 o'clock. I asked you last week about what time you were on and who was on the show and you didn't know.
I did have a bit of a brain snap. I've made it life easy for me, for myself. And Julio has kindly agreed to come on the
Sky
Show.
So our radio audience is going to be able to see this very optimistic and successful man
Absolutely.
Tell his story.
And also a very innovative recruitment platform called Envoy. So it's worth tuning into.
Six o'clock on Sky Business. The Antarctic voyage where you're filling up a ship with a whole lot of very interesting people. How'd that idea come about?
The whole conversation there is simple. I believe that leadership, you know, comes from the top. And when we start seeing people fighting about nothing, having arguments that is getting us nowhere. So you start to think what starts to happen in governance in businesses. So what I thought was, what am I going to do about this? Now, that's the entrepreneurial spirit. I know that this nation was built on the back of entrepreneurs. I still have an accent, but I'm 100% Aussie-fied, yep. Aussianized, right?
It's because of the girl with the green eyes.
That's right. and then what actually happens is this. For every single company that starts up in Australia that goes well, Australia's better off. So we need to seriously stop talking about it and stop moving on it. Who's going to do it? I reckon the entrepreneurs will do it. So the entrepreneurs love problems because we look at a problem and we can find a solution and unashamedly make money out of the solution and everybody's better off.
Yes.
Right? So when you start looking at that, if the problem is that our nation is now in debt and the states have debt, what can we do? Well, Let's create new businesses. Let's tell people how good financing here is, how cheap interests are right now, how our level of education is second to none. So let's put it back into the Australian people, the entrepreneurial spirit, and they feel encouraged. For every single startup that goes and it succeeds, as I said before, Australia's better off every time.
So, Julia, you're taking 117 entrepreneurs, but also people who've made their money doing different businesses and bringing them together.
Correct.
Is that with the view that they're going to come and have a big brains trust and come away 100%. With new ideas? Is that what you're planning?
Yeah, see, what I realize is this. If I was trying to do another conference at the Hilton or at the Rotary, it would be all right. So I start thinking, what would be something so cool?
Yep.
Extremely cool.
Cool or cold or freezing?
It's going to be summer, right, in Antarctica. So it's cold. But so the moment we said Antarctica, it just went bang. It represents so much. It represents that the planet we're living in, right, is fragile. We need to start thinking about business into the future that do not do harm. Okay, we need to start to think about new models in which we interface with each other. So the moment that I said Antarctica, and then what I did was I found the best company in the world, to take people to the North Pole and the South Pole. I called them up. I told them, well, this is what I want to do. And we started talking about, you know, how many beds did I want? And I went and bought the whole trip.
The whole ship.
Everything. They asked me for $1.3 million. I said, game on, let's go.
Yep.
So then I went back to the office and I told people what I was doing and they started looking at me like, how are you going to fill out that boat? I said, I don't know. You know, people will come.
Yeah.
Like the field of dreams.
Build it and they will come.
Yeah, and they will come and they will come. And the interesting thing was the moment I started talking to people, two major reactions took place. I'm in. And people pulled out the credit card and said, I'm in. Let's go. Other people go like, what? Why? But what we got now, if you went into www.unstoppables.com.au, you start to see now some of the most amazing people from all walks of life, all genders, right? And all the conversations in terms of what are we collaborating? We are collaborating to create a better future for Australia. So the overarching conversation is, how do we get to the future first? You see, we're talking about somebody right now has a robust business that makes good money. Somebody in the garage may be creating an app or an internet application that will wipe. How will you future-proof your business? Why shouldn't you be the one who is going to create those apps and those? So this trip to Antarctica is 10 days out. 10 days out. What is seeking to emerge and what are we pretending not to know? And I'm bringing the facilitators together to actually pull out of people the intellect that is in every entrepreneur on the boat.
Well, the inspiring thing I find about that is that everybody I know who's been down there is inspired by being there.
Yes.
So their mind is open and free anyway, and they're thinking about fresh
beautiful
things because they're in a fresh place. That's what it does to people.
Absolutely. Antarctica is in your face, in your soul, beautiful people say, right? So we have billionaire. We have a billionaire. We have a guy, John Odlum from, you know, Green Cross. He's coming on boat. He says, I just want to mentor the next generation. A guy who a few years ago was a vet and his company just went over $1 billion in value. Of course, there's a bunch of other conversations behind this. But the guy's humble and keen to teach the next generation.
So is it a structured program
you
have? It is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because when I looked at
Skive off and sit in the bar all day and not.
No, because you see, to be
it's
tax
pretty expensive.
Yeah,
it's expensive, but it's tax deductible. So to be because you see, my background is financial intelligence, right? So to be tax deductible, we had to for real put a business structure, and it is a business structure. So it does teaching, and it does PR, it does integration, it does everything that anyone would need to be able to claim it. So we put everything in there.
See, I always think, who gets the gurney to be the facilitator or the guru that stands up in front of, you know, a very impressive crowd of investors and entrepreneurs? And who is the leader that's being identified as worthy enough to facilitate this?
Oh, this is beautiful. So okay, cool. Of course, we have some amazing people like Jeff Wilson, who brought 5 world records crossing Antarctica unassisted, right?
Well, that's probably worthy.
You know, he's on the boat as a facilitator. We got Julian Knoll, who started Shine Sydney. We have Judy Reynolds, some big names already in Australia. They all there. They all coming. They all on the boat. The point, though, is I don't think that people want a lecturer at the front saying, hey, here's my wisdom. You know, what they want is to collaborate, to like, show me what you up to.
Brainstorming.
And I'll show what, you know, and entrepreneurs sharpen entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is to create 20 companies out of this boat. We believe, doing some sums already, we'll do over $1 billion with a business, right? That boat will generate for the future of Australia.
So you got any vacancies?
Right? We still have 19 seats. And I want to say this, Antarctica is far away, right?
What's the length of the trip?
10 days. And I'll tell you some things also.
Up and back in 10 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we as a matter of fact, when I got...
Where are you leaving from?
That's Chile.
Sorry.
So we fly from Sydney to Chile.
Yeah.
Yeah? Sorry. So Sydney to Chile and then Chile into Punta Arenas at the bottom of Chile. And then we fly to Antarctica. Because after I hired the boat to do it, I took every bed. Then somebody said to me, do you know about the 20, 30 meter waves between Chile? And I know, I don't. I don't know.
The devil's in the detail.
The devil's in the detail, right? So, you know, but that was like.
You were saying that
so
before.
I called quite quickly and I said, hey, is that okay for us to get some planes? And they go, yeah. So part of the price, you actually includes the plane. We are flying from Chile to Antarctica.
That might
so
be the
so no 40 meter
then you go
waves.
Out to the boat and that's correct. Do the work on the boat.
That's okay. Correct. So 10 days in Antarctica every day, tax deductible, get to the future first, create amazing business. The trip is designed for people that have money to invest and looking for ideas, people with ideas that are looking for investors, people that are solid in business that know disruption is coming their way, how to position themselves.
Julia, you're going to need to come back and tell us about all the ideas that were generated on the trip, don't you think, Steve?
I indeed. That'd be fantastic. I would love to. If you could come back and talk to us. So if anyone is listening who wants to contact you, how can they do that? Is there a website?
The best place to go is www.unstoppables.com.au.
And that's
right.
Two P's, Unstoppables, with two P's.
That's right, unstoppables.com.au, or just say entrepreneurial trip to Antarctica.
Okay. That's
Google
the
that.
Way.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much for coming. It's been a great pleasure, and we'd love to talk to you when you come back. We'd love to hear the stories of what happens down there.
Okay.
Heidi, thank you very much. Thank you for your help this year.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Not to mention a bit of fun, Steve.
Yeah, and we look forward
to keep you on your toes.
Look forward to seeing you on Sky Business on Friday.
Cheers.
And we might even hear you on 2GB over the summer. Who knows?
You might.
4 minutes to 10.